to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Monday morning, for many people, this is the kind of back to work, back to school start of 2026. So happy New Year to you. For those that work through the holidays, happy Monday, I guess, if nothing else. Christmas decorations down? Ours came down, what was it, January 2nd, I think. Typically, we might do it a little bit earlier, but we were busy in between Christmas and New Year's. In fact, we did a quick trip to Calgary, so we kept them up till January 2nd, and then the house looks bare now with everything down, because Joe likes to decorate everything. Like, you'll find Christmas decorations in the bathroom, in the kitchen, not just the Christmas tree. So it was literally a purging. We've got some sort of organized Jenga game with Rubbermaids in the garage that have, you know, numbered boxes depending on what type of Christmas decorations are in there. It's quite elaborate, I will say. And I have nothing to do with it other than the loading and unloading and stacking, and that's kind of my job. There are lots of people that will keep their Christmas decorations up this week. Of course, Ukrainian Christmas happening this week, so for many people, not a time to take the decorations down just yet. And for those that will be celebrating, Merry Christmas if you are celebrating Ukrainian Christmas this week. Okay, the topic that we have been talking about virtually all morning, I mean, it's really been the one that's monopolized news headlines through the weekend since we learned the United States did a military action, a military operation in Venezuela. They made the arrest of Venezuela's de facto president, Nicolas Maduro. He, of course, did not win their election last year or in 2024, but rigged it in a way that he did stay in power. And since then, there's been hints by the United States that they were going to take this action. Now, since the action has been taken, we have heard from various countries around the world their reaction to this. In a post on social media on the weekend, Prime Minister Mark Carney said, Canada welcomes the opportunity for freedom, democracy, peace, and prosperity for the Venezuelan people, going on to call for all parties to respect international law. Many people feel that was too soft. Many people were critical that that was too late. I think it was about 15, 16 hours after the news broke that that statement came out. But a lot of people said this is exactly what you needed to see from Prime Minister Mark Carney, because keep in mind, we are still trying to get a deal with the United States, so you can't send something out that's going to infuriate Donald Trump. Pierre Poilievre, on the other hand, was pretty quick with his notes on social media congratulating U.S. leaders on the capture of Nicolas Maduro. So what does this mean? What should the political reaction be to this? I wanted to bring a couple of guests in to talk about this, and I've got two great guests joining me in studio today. Doug Richardson, who has been on our program many times, a former Saskatchewan lawyer, well, still practicing lawyer, former Prime Minister's Chief of Staff in Ottawa. He's got connections to the Liberal Party of Canada. Doug Richardson, one of my guests in studio. Doug, thanks so much for being here.
Pleasure to be here. Happy New Year to you.
Great to have you. And Bronwyn Eyre is also joining me in studio, former MLA and provincial cabinet minister in Saskatchewan's former Ministry of Justice and Energy portfolios, two pretty important ones as we discuss this. Bronwyn, thanks for being here and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Evan.
Okay, let's start off maybe just with your reaction to the U.S. military operation in Venezuela. Doug, maybe I'll start with you.
Well, obviously.
Oh, just hang on. I think we've got a bit of a mic issue there. Have we got your mic turned on?
Good question.
Okay, Bronwyn, while we figure out Doug's mic, I'll start with you. Just your reaction to the U.S. military operation.
Well, obviously very dramatic, as we can all agree. And, you know, we now see Venezuelans celebrating on the streets of Miami for sure. Ironically, they're more scared to do so, you know, actually on the streets of Caracas and in Venezuela, because they're not sure that Maduro or Maduro's people are really done. I mean, being thrown in jail well as a political prisoner is very much a thing in Venezuela. So everyone is processing this, including, of course, world leaders, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. some somewhat delicately, I think is fair to say, as this reality is weighed, this very bold action, obviously, you know, by the U.S. And as everyone is pointing out, textbook flawless in terms of what they wanted to achieve from it.
Right. Doug, do we have your mic fixed?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. You sound great. Okay, Doug, same question to you. Your reaction to this U.S. military operation in Venezuela.
Well, one of the things that caught my attention, because quite frankly, on the way in here today, I was listening to your show, and I don't know that Brahman and I can add much to what you've ably set out for your listening audience and the detail that's been flooding social media and so on. But I decided to reflect on 1989 and why. That is the year President H.W. Bush invaded Panama. And I think it's the closest analogous situation. People will talk about Iraq, and I think there's a distinction. But I think Panama is worth looking at because of Central America and so on. And what happened post the invasion, a little different result. Yes, the president was captured. Yes, he was jailed eventually. Eventually, government returned to some normality. Obviously, the oil issue isn't the significant one, and I think it's probably handy to have a former energy minister on this exchange today, because this is a factor that's going to worry Canadians. But I suggest to Canadians or your listening audience that we not panic immediately about this, either on the oil or on the reaction that Prime Minister Carney and others provided.
So let's talk about that, Doug. Was there a right or a wrong reaction? Like, what is your take on what you heard from Prime Minister Mark Carney? Keep in mind, we didn't hear from him. He just posted something on social media. Did it hit the mark?
I honestly believe it did. And can I share an experience I had as a former chief of staff to a finance minister? We traveled to the Williamsburg G7, which, as you know, is an annual event. But that year it was a G8 because Putin was involved. My point was this, that President Reagan and then President Pierre Trudeau got into quite an exchange, a verbal exchange about world peace and so on. I'll never forget how President Reagan turned on Prime Minister Trudeau, saying, "What would you expect of me?" Prime Minister Trudeau's response was, "Try harder, try harder." My point is this, that the personal relationship between that prime minister and that president was very important. And I believe the personal relationship between Carney and Trump is critical. You alluded to at the outset of the show and getting this deal. If the Prime Minister of Canada had overreacted, had condemned, if I go back to the 1989 example I just gave you, every country in the world condemned the invasion of Panama, with the exception of China and Russia. Every country but Canada. Prime Minister Mulroney took a very measured view, very cautiously said, the rule of law, ironically, the same words that Carney used, should be looked at. But Prime Minister Mulroney said to Prime Minister Bush, I think you did the right thing taking this leader out. Mm-hmm. I think Carney has tried to say the same thing, apropos your very adroit point, that we have got to get a deal with an individual who occupies the White House, who can be completely irrational about personal arrangements.
Doug Richardson is one of two guests I've got joining me, a former Prime Minister's Chief of Staff in Ottawa. He's a Saskatchewan lawyer, connections to the Liberal Party. Bronwyn Eyre also joining us, a name that we associate to being a provincial cabinet minister that she was for many years, former Minister of Justice and Energy. Bronwyn, I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Doug. What we have heard or seen on social media from the Prime Minister, it's cautious. It's measured, I would suggest. It's fairly calculated in the words that were chosen. What is your reaction? Strong enough? Did he hit the mark?
Well, I think so. And I think, you know, that one has to be cautious about this. And obviously diplomatic wheels are turning, in the minds of leaders, in terms of how best to approach this. I think it's key to remember, as many have pointed out, that of course Maduro, is not a legitimate leader, and that it was a stolen election. I mean, one of the legal thresholds that U.S. justice officials are going to be pursuing, you know, in light of this is having to deal with the immunity issue, and immunity becomes less of an issue in a case where a leader is not actually a legitimate one. And so that is a key thing. And I think leaders around the world are weighing that in terms of the reaction that they're bringing forward. I mean, The other key thing, of course, is that the U.S. considers this invasion by another means. And I'm talking about the narco-terrorism, and really an attack on homeland security, in another sense. And I think that that's been very key to their deliberations and considerations in terms of what they've carried out. And so I think that we're really seeing that being the driver of what they have done here, and the motivation behind it.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm going to keep both of my guests, Bronwyn Ayer and Doug Richardson, here for another segment. So right till 10:30 this morning. The question we'll come back to is, what we heard from the United States president was that the drugs coming in from Venezuela were killing Americans. They were weak in terms of preventing others from setting up weapons, missiles that could be dangerous to the United States. We know oil is a factor on it.
Right.
Well, what about to the north? What about our country? Should Mark Carney be sleeping with one eye open? Are we vulnerable to the same sort of action? Obviously, I'm asking this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I'd like to hear the thoughts of both Doug and Bronwyn when we come back on that topic here on 980 CJME and 650 CJME. Here to finish up our conversation with Bronwyn Ayer and Doug Richardson. I always appreciate having both of these guests join us for a little check-in. This one on the impact of the U.S. military operation in Venezuela that we saw over the weekend. Maduro, was arrested. And of course, we know he is the de facto president of Venezuela. I say de facto because he did not win the last election. However, through some of his own coercion and rigging of the ballots and the counting of the ballots, managed to stay in power there and has been a regime that has caused lots of problems, obviously, for that country. Now, here's the question, Doug, and I'll come to you with this one. We know that drugs were flowing from Venezuela into the States. President Trump has made that same allegation about Canada. President Trump has also said Canada, through its lack of defense capability, exposes the United States to risks from Russia, from China, from other countries. Should we be worried? Does this set a precedent that Canada should be worried about, Doug?
About an invasion?
Well, about the president of the United States saying we're going to step into Canada and take over there.
Well, I personally don't think so. I'll tell you why. My opinion, the president has got the busiest year of his life coming up in 2026. In January, the Supreme Court, or early February, the Supreme Court will opine on his present tariff regime and its anticipated. I would predict the Supreme Court will 5-4 rule against the usage of their tariff practice. Secondly, in the summer, late spring, the USMCA negotiations will start to become quite detailed. And frankly, I think Canadians should be optimistic about hopes there. Thirdly, and more significant, is the midterm elections are going to face President Trump. And his conduct in the next 10 or 11 months will be monitored on how it will impact the midterm elections.
Mm-hmm.
The last point, I think, is oil. Everyone is presuming that by him taking over Venezuela, he will solve his oil challenges, reduce prices, reduce cost of living, etc. But Venezuelan oil is heavy oil. Their extraction capacity has been crippled by corruption and lack of new equipment. Chevron is the only American company operating there right now. And I suspect because of the number of companies that had to get paid out when Chavez nationalized the industry and had to settle at that time, that the oil companies are going to be very reticent about pouring billions of dollars to infrastructure, rebuild the infrastructure. So my submission to you is the President of the United States has got a number of balls in the air, not the least of which is Ukraine, not the least of which is the Russian reaction and the Chinese reaction to all of this. I think he's got his hands full. We should just get on to our job of negotiating, settling matters, and rebuilding our sovereign country.
Doug Richardson, one of two guests, Bronwyn Ayer, the other. Bronwyn, as a former minister of energy at our province, what does the potential of, and Doug talked about, new life in the Venezuelan oil industry, whatever that looks like, mean for Canada?
Well, let's start with what it might mean for the U.S. and the global oil landscape. I mean, this action could seriously change that landscape. Venezuela has three times U.S. oil reserves, but the U.S. has the refineries and the money for investment. And I disagree with Doug. I think that all high level speculation right now in terms of the finance and oil sector analysis side of this has, you know, this raising oil production, nudging the U.S. to 30% of global oil reserves, greater influence over prices. Yes, that takes time. But, you know, you look even at Iraq after the war. And I mean, we're talking here about, you know, some of the concerns about regime change. Whatever you feel about the outcome of the war, you know, over 20 years ago, the production by Iraq of oil has tripled. And not all of that, of course, goes to the U.S. So much of it goes to India and China. And that, of course, gets into the geopolitics of all of this. Mm-hmm. But some goes to the U.S. And the fact is that this is going to change. This is going to change things. And I mean, in the 1970s and 80s, Venezuela was producing 3.5 million barrels a day with Chavez and Maduro. I mean, that's fallen to 1 million. Interestingly, Saskatchewan produces about 450,000. But, you know, they now nationalized it in Venezuela. They drove production into the ground, as have we in many ways. I mean, what if we had Keystone XL now taking our heavy crude down into the U.S.? This changes things. It changes things for the oil landscape of Canada, which we have not invested in, which we have thwarted, and it changes the global price landscape going forward.
Bronwyn, let me jump in. We have under 30 seconds. What are two or three bullet points that Canada should be doing today then?
Well, deregulating what right now remains heavy, heavy red tape and huge investor uncertainty, major projects or not, that have been announced, all that regulatory uncertainty, uneven treatment by the federal government to provinces as one-offs is not going to help investor certainty and is not going to help drive our wealth. I totally disagree with Doug respectfully on USMCA. I think we're going to unfortunately learn that we are much more isolated than we think we are and that the world is moving on without us in many ways in the trade context. And of course, that's not something we want, mm-hmm. but something that we have in many ways brought upon ourselves. And so we are going to be dealing with a very different world. And the events of these last few days only exacerbate that.
I got to jump in. Sorry, we're at the end of our time. Doug Richardson, Bronwyn Ayer, thank you both for giving us some time today. We appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.